So like Carrie said, this morning we were talking about joy in our Signs of the Kingdom thing, series. Oh, thank you. She's going to move it so I can walk around. She knows me. So we are talking about the signs of the kingdom. And I love that Nathan and Carrie say the kingdom is here and yet to come. And Nathan's analogy, it's like the baby in her belly. I told that to Cecilia, and she was like, "You're just weird. I don't know why you like that." But it's a good analogy. The kingdom is here. Jesus has started something that is ongoing, but also it will be fully fulfilled at a time that no one knows. So that is what we're talking about. We're talking about different elements of that, what it's like, how we can know for sure that that's a thing, and how that manifests itself in our lives. So before we get into it, I do have two clarifying statements, two warnings, if you will. The first one is, I feel like this is important anytime you talk about joy. I feel like it's important to say joy is a very spiritual thing, but joy is also sometimes a biological thing. And so depression is real, and it's okay to say, I need to go seek help for that. Medication's okay. Talking to somebody about that's okay. Like it is okay. It's like, don't feel bad if you're like, I can't pray my depression away. Like that, it's okay. I have to clarify that before we get started. The second thing I want to tell you is I had like 9 different sermons for joy planned, like, and I'm only going to do 4 of them. No, I had like 9 different sermons planned. And so if you just walk away like, what just happened? I'm also preaching next week and it's going to be way better. So come back. Come back next week. Forget this week. All right. But let's go ahead. Let's get started. God, thank you so much that we can gather. God, that we can just be here and dwell with you. God, ultimately, that is what this hour on Sunday morning is about, is just with you. God, we come and we seek to connect with you. God, we seek to hear from you. God, we seek to be changed and empowered by you. God, so ultimately, we just pray that your presence might fill this place. God, I ask these words not be mine, but be yours, and that you might fill me with your spirit in such a way that it burns if I do not let it out. God, it's in your name we pray. Amen. So we are talking about joy. My first encounter with real, like, biblical joy was in undergrad. I went to this tiny school called McMurray, and I was in a class called Christianity to 1500, to 1500. So it was like Jesus' death to 1500. So it was a whole bunch of, like, boring old people with, like, fancy words that they said a lot. And I was, like, 20, and so I just didn't care about any of it. And so for me, it was set my fantasy football lineup, was what that class actually was called. But one day, we were reading, I don't remember what we were reading, but it was an account of some martyrs, like some early martyrs, which martyrs were people that died because of their faith. They died because they were Christians, right? They were persecuted because they were Christians. And a lot of times in, like, horrific ways. So, like, this particular martyr account was about a group of people that they got brought into an arena and tied to stakes and then, like, torn apart by wild animals. So, like, lions and bears and stuff, right? And so we're reading this account, which you would think would be enough to, like, bring me in. Like, this actually isn't. It wasn't. But so we're reading about this, and the professor's talking about it. I'm, like, haphazardly listening while I'm trying to decide whether to start Jamal Charles or not. I didn't. He went off. It was sad. He's talking about it, and he's reading this passage and is describing them. They know what's coming, right? Like, it's not like they're like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen to me in this arena. Like, they know what's about to happen. They're very aware that they are about to die in a very, like, terrible way, right? And he's reading this account of it, and it's saying that they're singing praises of joy and rejoicing about God as they're marching into this arena, right? That they're just singing and they're celebrating, and it's like a party, right? And just my attention, I'm like, wait, what? Hang on, that doesn't make sense. And then it talks about how even as they were dying, even as they were being ripped apart, they were still praising God's name, right? And it's just like, that doesn't make sense. Like, that's not a logical thing to do. And it's not, it was just weird. So I close my fantasy football, and I say, I'm like, hey, what? Like, why were they so happy about dying? And my professor says something really profound that escaped me then, but now means a lot, and is kind of the root of this whole sermon. He said, you see, they weren't happy about dying, because happiness is temporary, but joy is eternal, right? And I was like, that's just like a cliche bumper sticker. I don't care about that. But now, older and wiser, that is what we're going to talk about this morning, the fact that happiness is temporary and joy is eternal, all right? So we start, I don't have a smooth transition, so we're just going to jump in. We start with the idea that when we come into communion with God, right, when we get the Holy Spirit, when we say, yes, Jesus Christ, I believe in you, come into my heart, we are transformed. All right, this is the basic thing. And we're going to spend a little time here. Like, this is not a sermon about how that is actually true. I just need y'all to accept that that is actually true. We are transformed. All right, Christ works in our lives in such a way that we are a different person. Jesus talks about a new baptism or a new birth, right? Jesus says, you must be born again. And the guy's like, that doesn't even make sense. How am I supposed to do that? And he's like, no, you don't understand. You're a new creation, right? Paul constantly talks about new creation. The old is dead, but the new is alive, alive in Christ. Your old selves are dead. Like all this, we're transformed. We are something entirely new when Christ has a part in our lives, right? It reminds me a lot of, this is maybe none of you relate to this, but this reminds me a lot of when I got a Fitbit, okay? So let me explain. This is now just a smartwatch. It replaced my Fitbit, all right? It still keeps track of my steps. I was going through a phase. Cecilia wanted one. I don't like to admit I had a Fitbit. All right, so I got this Fitbit, and I thought Fitbits were so stupid because I was like, this literally is just going to tell me how many steps I take. Like, how does that help me? Like, it's not going to make me take more steps. It's not going to shock me if I don't run or something. Like, this is. But so I get this Fitbit and I strap it on, and then suddenly I was transformed. All right. And what I mean by that is Fitbit has this competition element. All right. So if y'all guys have never had a Fitbit, basically it keeps track of your steps, but it also tells you how many steps all your friends with Fitbits have taken, and specifically how many steps my wife was taking. All right. Specifically. And, right, and you can challenge other people. So you can say, I bet this week I'm going to take more steps than you. So that obviously, because exercise is all about gloating at the end, obviously you can show you're better, right? That component, oh my gosh, suddenly the terrible things of life, like going to Target, were joys. You know, Cecilia's like, hey, do you want to go to the store with me? And I'm like, yes, I do. Let's go every aisle. Like, let's go twice. I don't even care. You know, like, I'm parking at the back of the parking lot. I'm like, I need these dang steps. Yes, it entirely transformed the way I saw the world, and the bad became good. And that is exactly what happens with Jesus. Jesus comes into our lives, and we are transformed, right? We are transformed, and suddenly our perspective changes. Suddenly, Target is not the enemy, but the joy. Our perspective is entirely new. Right? That is such a key thing because perspective is huge. You know, Ginny liked that when she's like, perspective is huge. Perspective is huge. You, like, it's like pessimist, optimist. You know, like, I see it, I see that as blue. Well, I see it as chartreuse. I actually don't know what chartreuse is. I don't know if that makes sense. But perspective is crucial in the world, and Jesus entirely changes ours. All right? Suddenly, everything is different. And changes ours because, and now here's where we get to the Bible, because when Jesus is a part of our lives, hopefully we start seeking God first, right? So like the verse that Carrie just read, it goes through all these things, do not worry. But like the crux that I want to start off is at the end where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you or something like that. There's a song that says it. You know, like seek God first, right? That's our new perspective is God. Seeking God is our new perspective. When Jesus comes into our lives, we are suddenly given a new gaze, a new focus. And that trickles down and affects everything about our lives. All right? Because suddenly, just like the verse says, suddenly when I'm focused on God, it doesn't matter how much money I have. It doesn't matter if I have the Lexus as opposed to the Mazda. It doesn't matter if all my friends are jerks and tell me that I look stupid. I don't know. It just, these things don't matter anymore because God is what matters. And God has radically different things to say about the world than the world has to say about the world, right? Like, if you ever read any of the Bible, you're like, hang on, this is not me. We're in Bible study on Wednesday night at Anjanette's house. Plug in it. It's great. Y'all should come. But we were reading Proverbs, right? And so each chapter of Proverbs we're going through, and we just keep coming back to like, this is not how the world is, but we wish it was. You know, like these Proverbs, they keep saying like, don't sleep around, be an honest person, don't go like, go throw yourself into temptation, like all this stuff. And we're like, man, this is not what the world's telling me, but this is what I need to hear, right? Like God, When we focus on God, we focus on what is good and right, our perspective changes, and suddenly things stop to matter as much. Right? Like the bad things, it's not like the bad things disappear. It's not like there's not pain all of a sudden. It's this, but it just doesn't matter as much. Right? Because when we focus on God like that, one of the byproducts is it makes us thankful. Right? So Jesus transforms our hearts. We get a brand new perspective, and one of the byproducts of that perspective is thankfulness. I love the psalm that you read this morning about praising God and giving our praises always. It's just such an incredible, incredible reminder of how much we have to be thankful for, right? And when our perspective shifts, suddenly we're reminded, oh my gosh, I have so much to be thankful for, right? I think humans, just this is as a whole, I think humans are really good at seeing the bad and really good at ignoring the good. You know, like, we're just really good at that. We're really good at saying, well, here's all of my problems, not here's all the incredible things. And again, that doesn't mean that there aren't problems. That doesn't mean that there's not bad things. That doesn't mean that those aren't legitimate moments of suffering and pain. But we focus on that suffering and pain and forget the good. So after we've been transformed, after we get this new perspective, we can't help but be thankful. We can't help but praise God. I want to read you guys, if I'd known this is such a good story, I wouldn't have done this, but I want to read you guys Psalm 100, mostly because it's five verses, but it's an entire chapter. So you can go home and say, I read an entire chapter in church today. I am obviously more holy than you. So if you guys would open up Psalms chapter 100, if you have a Bible. If you don't, it's a little bit late, but they're back there for next time, just so you know. Psalms chapter 100, it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. What a great chunk. We are God's. And when we focus our perspective on God, we can't help but be thankful, see how great God is. And God is great. That's another one of those points that in itself could be a sermon. But like, God is great. I need y'all to accept that as fact. God is great. And when we're focusing ourselves on God, we cannot help but be thankful. Because God is worthy of all of our thanks and praise. God is worthy of everything good and even more that we might say about God. So we have this perspective. And through this perspective, we have this call to be thankful. And through this thankfulness, we are given hope. Now, I know we've already said hope is one of the signs of the kingdom, I think, or it's the last one. Hope is one of the signs of the kingdoms, but it ties in with joy. So I'm going to steal a little bit of his thunder. We are given hope, new perspective. Because when we turn our gaze upon God, when we see things differently through God's lens, we can't help but be hopeful for the future. Because, like my professor, happiness is temporary, but joy is eternal. Our God is eternal. Our God is all, in control of all, beyond all, and bigger than all. So when we know, oh man, I'm suffering, when we know, oh man, life is not going well, when the world falls apart around us, we know that that falling apart world is not the end of the story. Jesus was crucified, but then he rose. We have that hope that there is a God bigger than anything this world can throw at us, and that hope that we get to be a part of. So again, it doesn't say that the suffering is not real. It doesn't say that the pain you're going through is not real, legitimate pain, and that it's not okay to feel that. It is okay to feel that. There are so many lament psalms. There's so many moments of anguish to God. But overlaid with that, we remember that there is a hope beyond that. Suffering is not the end of the story. That God says, I will make a new creation, but I will also... And this new world, the kingdom of God, will have joy and peace and rescue and deliverance, and it will have a renewed kingdom, and it will be a beautiful, glorious place. And that is my hope for the world. If it doesn't happen in our lifetimes, and even if it even doesn't happen in this century, we know that it will happen because God tells us that it will happen, so we can have hope in it. And then with all that, with this new perspective that focuses on thankfulness and gives us hope, how could we not have joy? How could we not come and say, praise be to God? How could we not shuck off the things of life and say, I worship a God beyond this. I can be joyful through this. This scripture this morning, this is basically saying that. This is kind of the, I don't know what the antithesis for this whole thing. Not the antithesis. This is for this whole thing. Oh man, is that idea of not, you know, don't care about what you're wearing. Do the birds care about what they're wearing? Don't care about what you're, because none of that matters. God, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you. That in itself gives us joy. So then we can march in front of our oppressors. We can go into the arena. We can face our pain and suffering, and we can say, this is real, but this is temporary. That is the power of the kingdom of God. But, to circle back around, but it is only possible through the transformation of everything. There are a lot of things you can do to get joy. You know, like the idea of just being thankful. There's psychological things that say, like, oh, if you intentionally say what you're thankful for, you'll be happier. Like, that's not like just a Christian only thing, right? And there's a lot of things about like 5 ways to have a happier lifestyle. Like, I see those on BuzzFeed all the time. But that is a true thing. But this kind of joy that I'm talking about, hope in the eternal, this is only possible through Christ. This is only possible when we're willing to become new creations, when we're willing to turn to God. Mother Teresa says, only when you fully submit yourself to God will you ever be fully free. Right? Only when I turn to God will I get to experience this kind of radical world-facing joy in my life. And quite frankly, that in itself gives me joy because, golly, we need it. You know, there are so many things about this world that just drag us down and that just make us feel like, ugh, like what is going on? So we celebrate that our God is good and that our God is transforming, and gives us a new perspective, and that our God makes us thankful and that our God gives us hope so that we might have joy. To close, I'm going to offer a story about the last song we're about to sing, and then we'll sing and be done. Don't tell Nathan, I'll let y'all out early. So we are about to sing the song called It Is Well With My Soul, is, you know that song. One of my favorite hymns in the entire world. And Jeannie's already crying. She's already. I learned the story of that song, and it just like made it even more my favorite. This song was written by this guy. What happened was, so he comes to the United States, right? He comes to the United States, he's from England, comes to the United States, and then he sends for his family to come with him. So he's got a wife and these daughters, and they're coming over on this boat, and the boat sinks. All right? The boat sinks, and everyone is lost. And so it's the olden times, so they didn't have, like, texting. So, like, this boat comes and tells him a couple months later. And so he hears the news, and he locks himself into a room for 2 days. And then when he comes out, he's written this song. All right, and this song was, like, it was, like, his journaling process, basically. It was his I'm going to take the worst thing imaginable to me, the loss of my wife and daughters. And then this was his reflective response. It is well with my soul. You know, that is the joy. Gives us is he doesn't say like I'm so happy that my wife died. They had a healthy marriage. He doesn't say that, but he says it is well with my soul. Our praise this morning is that no matter what's going on, we know that it is with our soul. And thank you so much to God for that. In Jesus' name, amen.